What's going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Game Cast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back. Another week of awesome stuff. I say awesome because we're awesome, but some of the topics aren't that very awesome this week. It's nothing super bad. It's just some things that I wanted to kind of talk about in terms of black entertainment. We'll get to that in a sec, but I want to say also, before we get into all the stuff that we're going to talk about this week, is that we've been doing pretty well podcast-wise. We last week was episode 50, and we got our new intro and outro. We also jumped onto Audio Boom, which spread us everywhere. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, all those different places, and we're doing decently. Starting out, I knew the numbers would be low because we're new, so people just kind of like browsing and like, oh, what's this? And then click on it. So that's it's gonna take a little while for people to kind of notice us in these places versus on YouTube. But apparently Google Podcasts is doing really well. And I didn't think that would be a thing because usually, or at least when people talk about podcasts, it's Spotify or iTunes. That's what I hear mostly. But for us, it's been Google Podcasts. And I'm not mad at that. Anywhere works. But I was just kind of surprised. I also was looking at some other analytics, and it seems that a lot of people are listening to us on their desktop and not their phones. Now, this could be because people are at home now more so. And, maybe you're working, and so you're listening to a podcast while you're working. Totally understand that. But I just figured like when I listen to podcasts, I'm using it on my phone and I'm like taking a walk somewhere, or I'm saying washing dishes or something where I can have my hands, free and whatnot. So I was a little surprised. And outside of that though, this is telling me that people are tuning in, people are listening, and our recent moves have been successful. So clap that up. Good stuff. Good stuff. So this week has been rather busy for me outside of the inner workings of setting up a podcast to kind of reach more people and getting the Twitter thing buzzing and all that other stuff. I'm also doing work. Your cousin, my sister-in-law, asked me to do some illustrations for her, so I'm working on that, and I'm doing I got This is funny. Someone jumped into my DMs about a full-time job position at a website. And at first I was like, I don't know. But then like just talking with people and kind of hearing a little bit more about the position, I was like, okay, maybe. So we'll kind of see where that goes. But it's been a lot of going back and forth with certain people and trying to figure out the logistics of certain things. Certain things I can't speak about too much because they're not done yet. Similarly to when I talk about certain articles, I'm like, I have to wait till it goes up because it has sensitive information. It's kind of like that, but it's been a lot of work. Outside of that, though, I did catch up on The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I finally got up, like, caught up to date, which was pretty dope because some of our favorite characters from Wakanda showed up.
Oh, that's
And
sweet. I haven't gotten there, but yeah, nice.
it was quite awesome. Like seeing them beat the dirt, the Dormaje beat the dirt off of the fake Captain America was great. Like just so great for me. He
He's so annoying.
is. And you know what was crazy? And this is not a spoiler for anybody who hasn't watched it. But he eventually turns into another character. And they give that away because of his name. His name is of a character that is big in the comics, so you kind of know who he is already. It's kind of like if someone said Charles Xavier, it's like okay, you know who he's going to be. He's a mutant, right? So similarly to that, but it's interesting to kind of see him of slowly turning into this particular character. He was also on a Netflix show as himself as well, so not a spoiler. Anywho, the fake Captain America, because I like calling him the fake Captain America, is all about, I'm the Captain America now. Do you know who I am? Like, I'm the authority here. And they beat the dirt off him
That's
And took his shield.
nice. And took his shield. You ain't Captain America no more, homie.
Fam, they were like, one of them was like, all right, you know what? The person we're looking for isn't here. Go ahead and give him back his shield.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth.
Oh, it was so great. So yeah, so I caught up on that. I've been watching, catching up on some anime that I missed. One Piece is they actually revealed a lot of information behind the scenes about, not behind the scenes, but like a lot of lore that was kind of hinted at throughout the series. They revealed more of it this week, and that was really dope because I feel like it's coming to a close finally. And by that, I mean it could probably have another 100 episodes, but I feel like it's moving in that direction, and it feels good because they're pulling characters and information that you got early on in the series. They're pulling all that stuff back in, and so you don't feel like your time is wasted with all that information, which is a really good feeling after investing a ridiculous amount of time into this series. So that's dope. I think that's it. I also watched a really bad show that I'm gonna talk about later. But that's been kind of my week. A whole bunch of working
I
and
get.
binging different TV shows at bedtime.
Well, first of all, that sounds fun because binging shows at bedtime is great. You fall asleep to them. You kind of have a fever dream that you're in the show you're watching, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, okay. I kind of know where I
Word.
am. Yeah, that's normal. I do that. I haven't done much this week except get my arm poked on Saturday
Oh,
of
good.
last week. Yeah, I got my first Pfizer shot, Team Pfizer. Hey,
Pfizer.
who knows? If I turn into a mutant, I mean, at least God, please let me be a cool mutant. I'm not gonna be a Morlocks, all right? I'm just not. I don't want to go have to live underground. I don't want to like never see the sun again. Like I like the sun. I don't get in it a lot because I'm always working, but come on, man. Give me cool powers. I'll be the Phoenix for crying out loud, self-destructing and all kinds of nonsense. But I just don't want to be a like slimy blob. It's just give me that.
You'd be all right.
Anywho, I hope so. And then, but I realize like, some people are like, oh, you don't have side effects from the first one. It's just your arm sore, whatever. Yes, my arm is super sore. Hey, I've gotten tetanus shots before and we've all gotten our vaxes. MMR, come on. We remember those.
Right.
And we got some like a couple years ago. Like, I just had a tetanus shot like 4 years ago. It's nonsense. And I just went to Ghana like 2 years ago. So I had more shots. It's not the point. The point is, I was really tired for so many days. And I didn't know if that was a side effect until I was talking to some other people. They're like, yeah, I got tired too. It's like I didn't feel sick or anything. I just was super tired. And they're like, yeah, me too. Da da da. Whatever. So that's what happened to me. So basically, what I'm saying is, I was tired and I didn't do anything except go to work.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
I mean, that said, I am glad that you got the shot and you're going to be getting your second shot.
eventually. I mean, I scheduled it, but like they told me as I was there, they're like, okay, a norm what you really need to do is just get it within 6 weeks. They're like, that's normal. Like you can get it in 3 weeks, as soon as 3 weeks from now. And she was like, you should get yours between the 1st and the 15th, but you really do have 6 weeks, so just as soon as you get your email, schedule your next appointment. I was like, okay, great. I got my email like at midnight that night or the following morning or whenever, I can't remember. It comes like the next day. So I got my email on Sunday and I was like, yay, wonderful. Let me schedule my thing. And it's like only May 1st. That's all that's there. There's nothing else listed. I was like, what? You guys told me I had like between the 1st and the 15th. How come you don't have any other appointments? Like, I can't get this on another Saturday. I work. Like,
Right.
I had to leave work early to get this one. And now they want me to leave on a Saturday again. I'm like, no, that doesn't work for my schedule because I'm gonna have to take like 3 days off. They're gonna give me the shot. I'm gonna feel bad for 2 whole days. And I was like, I can't miss the first part of the week. My days off are Thursdays and Fridays, hence the reason we're recording, even though tomorrow morning I gotta go get my teeth cleaned. I'm just saying, people have schedules and I can't get time off.
I think that's why they're doing it, because they're thinking that people are going to be working during the week, and so if you're tired, you're tired on the weekend. If anything, it should be on a Friday, because even if you are working, you have You go, you like if you took off that Saturday, it's like, okay, I have that Friday, Saturday, Sunday versus a Saturday where you're like it could bleed into Monday. So even if your schedule isn't different like yours, you would still be going into the workplace feeling off. You know what I mean? So Friday would probably be better. Then again, with everyone trying to get their shots, they could be like super booked.
They just apparently didn't release any more dates. And I was just like, that's just so weird because I know everybody who got their shot on Saturday got the same email. So, like, if they fit all the people, they did like 2,000 something shots or whatever that day. All the people that they scheduled on Saturday all got return emails, then all those people are pretty much what you should expect. I'm probably going to run into some of the same people, right, on the first. But I called them. And I was like, hey, this doesn't work for me. I really, really need you guys to give me another day. Can you please give me Wednesday, the following Wednesday? I was like, I don't think you guys understand. I'm having surgery in a few weeks and I have to get this shot before my surgery. That's what my doctor told me. They said, yes, you need to get this shot before your surgery. So I was just like, can we get this scheduled? And she's like, no, you need to call back. I said, call back? Just to get the first shot? You want me to call back? Y'all called me. First of all, y'all literally called me and left me a message and said, hey, we're trying to get you vaccinated. And I was like, wonderful. I got an email saying I should get vaccinated. Great. So they needed to help a sister out, and the lady was not trying to help me. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. And then right after I got off the phone with her, I saw the news thing that the Johnson & Johnson shot was being canceled.
Yeah.
Complete, no more Johnson & Johnson shots. It's done. Like, that's it. US is like, CDC suspends all Johnson and Johnson, whatever. And I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and book this appointment because what's gonna happen is that they're gonna run out of Pfizer shots. That's what's about to happen. So
Yeah.
I just went and booked it.
That's what's
And that's
up.
it. Yeah, that's basically what I had to choose. So yeah, I'm just gonna have the schedule rewritten and I'm just not gonna go to work on the second or the third.
Well, they should be understandable if you're like, I'm going to get the second shot. At the very least, like, hey, or maybe work from home. But I think they should be a little bit reasonable because the last thing they want to hear is, oh, I have COVID and I was at work with you guys. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, my boss, my manager, had said, because he's getting his on a Thursday or something like that, or Friday. Yeah, he's getting his on a Thursday. He's like, I won't be here Friday. I'm letting you guys know in advance. And that's great. And I actually told him this. I was like, hey, I'm having a problem like getting the schedule. They only have it on the first. And then he was like, yeah, you just can't come to work the next day or two. And I'm like, I don't think, I see, I hear what you're saying, but what you're saying is I shouldn't come to work, which I agree with. But you're not going to come to work on a Saturday. The manager
Right.
is not going to come cover for me. So I'm like, do you want it to be coverless? That's what I was trying to express. My expression was, hey, I can't get this shot on a Saturday because I need to be at work because it's not like you're coming in for me.
Right.
Guess what? Somebody's going to show up because I'm not.
You have a good reason, though. You have a solid reason.
Totally solid.
We're currently planning when we're gonna get ours. And it's I was saying with the kids and everything, not so much because I think there was a little bit of confusion when I said it before. People were thinking that I was giving my son a shot or trying to get him to get a shot. He's too young,
Yeah, because
folks.
he's one.
He's way
He's
too
old.
young. All of my kids are too young. What I was saying was I didn't want to be having adverse side effects when he's also having adverse side effects from his shots that he's as a kid, getting his vaccinations. Because it's bad if it's hard enough dealing with for the people who have kids, you kind of know, like when they get certain shots, they get fevers, they get other things. So you have to kind of be there for them. And it's not like life-threatening, but it's like they're miserable. And so if you're working, you're gonna take off. If you're in this situation, like with COVID, or just me because I work from home, I kind of have to postpone teaching that day. I have to postpone like working because like the child is not going to be happy, and rightly so. They have a freaking fever, right? And they're like, they have a where they got the shots. Sometimes they get multiple shots, so like their legs are sore, things of that nature, right? So then to be run down because I got a shot, on top of that, makes it tough because now I have a I could potentially have a fever. He has a fever, and then on top of that, I don't know how that works. In terms of being immunocompromised, because when they get their shots, typically in a let's say there was no COVID, when my kids got their shots, we didn't really like I didn't take them to church that following Sunday, because they're immunocompromised. They have whatever vaccine is in them working it out, so we kind of stay away from people for a little bit, let them let their immune system kick in, and you know they knock it out, and then they're good. We're back. You're back to normal. So with you know COVID, obviously we're not going anywhere, but I don't want to be going out getting a shot amongst other people and then coming back home and then, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of moving bits and pieces there. So I just wanted to clear that up that we're not giving children the shot. Just chill. So yeah, we're looking into to when we can time that well around all the stuff that we have going on. I believe my wife is going to be getting her shot before me, and then I will get it. We're going to space it out a little bit so that way, like if she's ill, I can take care of her and vice versa. So, but we look forward to doing it. We look forward to getting back to normal, just some semblance of normal, and not normal normal. Like certain things should stay the way they are. Like being able to work from home in certain fields should stay. You know, at least be optional, because I know some people just don't like it. But it should be optional because we can do it, and it's beneficial for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. But anywho, not to really, you know, harp on that. I like I said, I'm glad that you were able to get the first shot at least, and you know, you're gonna get the next one, so that's dope. A couple of things before we get into our main topic. I noticed that there was a bit of an issue between Disney and the original creators of the Predator series. Apparently, they're the Thomas brothers, Jim and John. They wrote the movie for the original Predator film. And the way that the copyright was set up was that, because it was owned by 20th Century Fox, the way the copyright was set up, they could continue to make Predator films up until, I guess, the 35th anniversary. They had like 35 years to make new works. And to this year marks the 35th anniversary. The thing is, Disney bought Fox. And Disney is like, hey, we got the Predator now. We want to, you know, make something of it. And the brothers are like, pump the brakes. We want the license back. We want, you know, we want our IP back. And Disney's like, no. And so they've actually sued. They filed a lawsuit against Disney, in an attempt to, you know, get the rights back. And I want to say they are being represented by Mark Toberoff, yeah, Mark Toberoff, who actually had a similar case with the Friday the 13th rights. And for those who might not be aware, a few years ago, I want to say 2017, 2018, there was a big hoopla about Friday the 13th being split between three different parties, I believe it was. It was the movie party who made the film. It was the guy who wrote, I believe, who wrote or created the character. Jason Voorhees for like the first film before it became a franchise, and then there was other parties like companies who made video games and stuff like that. And what ended up happening was there was a hold put on that series, so no one can make anything. The people who made the recent video game weren't able to make any more content for it. The people who had the film license had to cancel their films, and the guy who wrote it couldn't write anything new because they were kind of like deadlocked. Like you couldn't do anything because there was no one owned the rights. Like completely owned the rights. And I'm not sure there, I think they're still in, you know, going to court. Like I believe that person won, the guy who wrote or like who had created the, you know, Jason Voorhees or whatever, the original Friday the 13th, but it's being appealed. Like there's a pending appeal going on, and so that's not even done yet. And that was years ago, right? So I can see this being a big issue for Disney, because if Disney had plans, you know, like a possible film or TV show to go on Disney Plus, That's all on, being put on hold because the Thomases want their I there are the Thomases, sorry, want their IP. So it's interesting how that works with, because I know people have been complaining about Disney's works, where it's going to be long time before they're able to be just, anybody could just make anything with the Mickey Mouse. You know what I'm saying? And how they just have copyright forever, which makes sense because they're still making money. But where on the flip side, where Disney can just purchase whatever they want seemingly, and how people are kind of stuck. Where, because this might not have been the case with Fox. I don't know. Maybe Fox would have been like, "Hey, why don't you come work for us?" Or maybe we can share, like maybe we can work something out. But seemingly Disney was like, "No, like we just bought Fox and we don't want to rock with y'all." Which is kind of understandable. They paid a lot of money, but it's like at the same time, it's like you bought these properties that belong to other people. You know what I mean? Like it's like I bought a Well, this is a bad example, but like I bought someone's car, and I bought it from them, and then the real owner's like, well, they stole it. It's like, oh, well, I mean, I paid money though. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a bad example because Disney didn't steal anything, but I'm just saying that it's a bit of a,
No.
yeah,
Just kidding, kidding,
it's a bit of a kerfuffle or whatever. So I just thought that was interesting and I wanted to share. I'm looking forward to any type of Predator anything because I'm a fan of the series, even though the first and second one were pretty much the only ones that are worth watching. Still, I would be interested in what Disney could do with it. It's unfortunate because, like I said, Disney is a behemoth, and if the copyright rightly belongs to the Thomas brothers, I think they should have it, but they have an uphill battle right now. Outside of that bit of news, let's talk about our first topic, the show Them. Okay. Let me get the good stuff out of the way. I think that's fair, right?
Let's start there.
So I think that Them has points because the whole it's a horror series, anthology series. The first portion of it is based on a black family that moves into Compton, back when it was like all white, so like years ago. And there is a it's during the second great migration to North Carolina, or sorry, north from North Carolina. The family moves from North Carolina to Los Angeles. Okay, there's
Compton.
certain beats. Yeah, there's certain beats that people can relate to. There's certain themes. There's certain points that I kind of, if I squint, I can kind of see where you were going with it. I also think that there's a lot of style in terms of visuals. There's a lot of style in terms of storytelling. There's a lot of style in even in some of the depiction of characters. I believe the actors did an amazing job. Shedaya Joseph, who plays one of the younger kids, she was on the movie Us. She's a great actress. She has a bright future. Like, there's a lot of good stuff you can say along those lines. Ashley Thomas, who played Henry, solid, solid work. Deborah, I can't pronounce her last name, but she played the wife Lucky. She did an amazing job. Just dope, dope, dope acting, right? All right. Got that out of the way. Boom. This series should not be watched by anybody who's black. Period.
Dang.
Period. And
Shots fired, cuz
yeah,
dang.
it's like a cannonball like into their castle. That's the shots I'm sending. I don't like it at all. And I'm going to explain why. And I'm going to spoil a lot of it. So
But please do.
if you want to watch and you don't want to spoil, feel free to. I'll put, the time spots in here. Feel free to skip. But I'm going to spoil this because I don't really have respect for it, and I don't believe that you should watch it. So I'm going to spoil it. This show depicts trauma in like the meanest ways possible. It isn't. I think the only thing that keeps it from being super explicit is the fact that it's on Prime. It's not like on HBO where they can kind of show whatever they want. In that sense, though, you don't need to see everything that happens to understand what's going on or to feel a way, right? So to kind of paint the picture, this family moves out and well, actually, no, they start with the mother being in North Carolina. Her husband has left with their two daughters. The mother's alone with her son. Her son is like a baby. And these white people pull up, all hell breaks loose, and then they cut. You don't see what happens there, but there's some trauma. They fast forward a few years later, or maybe I think it's like 2 or 3 years later. The husband gets a job in Compton. He's an engineer. They move to LA, right? They move into a neighborhood that's all white.
Normal.
And immediately the racism happens, like it starts. Now, this is the mild part. Their neighbors do everything from, because they don't want them to live there. They
Course.
do everything from hanging like little, like, you know, the dolls that look like, God, what
The
is
mammy doll?
the mammy dolls? They burn like, you know, we don't want you here or something to that effect, like in their yard. They you know, they sit out in front of their house playing music like different from different radio stations to kind of like drive them crazy. The all sorts of like just racist actions. Their words, like there's points where some of the characters like yell at them like you niggers or whatever the case may be, right? So typical stuff, but it heightens over the course of the show. That's the mild stuff. And I say that because on top of that, this family is haunted by a racist spirit. Bananas. At first, when I was watching it, I thought that they were trying to be clever and turned racism into an entity, similar to how Marvel took death and made it a woman. You know, she's a concept, but she's also a character. That's what I was thinking. And because of that, I was like, you know what? This could be very interesting in the sense of a concept coming to life and what that looks like, and then having everybody have to reconcile with that, right? That would have been very interesting. That's not the case. It's actually a spirit. And I told you I'm spoiling. You don't find this out until like the episode before the last one. There's a spirit. A guy who lived years ago in what was Compton, but like, you know, back when there was like wagons and stuff, he brought up,
I like that time marker bar, that time marker, by the way. There were wagons,
right,
people.
like horses, wagons, there was no cars. The Civil War
Very
had,
racist time.
right, the Civil War had ended already. And so this pastor, oh my gosh, there's so many layers to how horrible this is. This pastor is, he loses his family. He's upset with God. He wants to know why. And seemingly God gives him a child. It's not God. I'm spoiling it. I'm telling you. It's not
Yeah, that's
God. It's a little demon child. And
nice. That's so sweet.
only he can see the child. Nobody else notices. Or like the way they play it is like they see him kind of like walking around, but they don't really know that the child is not there. Like they don't see the child, the audience sees it, and we don't recognize that he's not there until much later.
Oh,
So
so it's a what's that movie called again? I See Dead People.
the Sixth Sense, similar. Yes. So he's walking around with his child and these black people break down. The child comes and tells him. They break down like they're trying to get to, you know, I want to say not New York, but like they're trying to go north, like get away from the s southern areas of the state. And they welcome them in to their town. The town, everybody in the town doesn't like them because obviously they're black. And they feel that they're the reason that the United States is torn apart because of the Civil War. So they blame them for that. And he's saying, the pastor at first, who seems competent, is saying, like, you know what? We got to bring them in. God told us that, you know, we're supposed to not turn people away who are in need. The because the wife was pregnant, they don't have means to travel, et cetera, et cetera. As time goes on, though, the group of people become more and more hostile, more and more racist to this family, and he's like questioning God, like, what should I do? Because I kind of believe the way they believe, but I don't want to like going against your word. And all meanwhile, the child is kind of like putting seeds into his mind about how they're supposed to be our property and all this other stuff. Long story short, they're accused of stealing horses,
Wow.
which was their horses. They came, like I said, their wagon broke down, and they had their horses parked where they were, and because they couldn't justify hurting them for anything else, they were like, you were stealing horses. And
Oh,
when they
nice.
fought back, things went really bad. Both of them had their eyes burned out, and they were hung upside down. Mind you, she's pregnant, and set on fire.
Oh, okay.
When they're set on fire, the whole town burns down, and this pastor is like, realizes that the kid that he was with wasn't from God. It was like from a demon. The demon's like, hey, you know what? We don't like black people. I'm paraphrasing, folks. He's like, we don't like black people, and I need you to torment them from the inside out so that they kill each other. And if you don't do that, I will make your life or your afterlife a living hell.
Okay.
Because he's like, you know, I'm getting ready to die and I don't want to die this way. He's like, this is how you can live. Shakes hands. Boom. Mind you, this is stuff that's shown later. And the reason I'm telling you now is because I got to explain the foolishness. So let's go back to the beginning where these people moved to this place. They're in this area where he died and all those other people died. So this evil spirit is just there. And what it does is it causes them to start seeing things. Each character, each member of this family sees something different. The husband, Henry, sees a person in blackface who actually does look creepy. I'll give them that. But he is talking to him in the old, you know, stereotypical dialect. He is trying to push him to do violent things towards white people. Lucky, the wife, is seeing. Well, she's seeing a little bit of everything. She's seeing her child being hurt when she's not. She's seeing, you know, like ghosts and stuff that like are pulling at her and basically causing her to kind of react or act out in a way that when people look at her, they're like, oh, she's dangerous. Like all the white people are like, oh, she's dangerous. We got to stay away from her. You know, mad black woman type thing. And what ends up happening is as these things are happening, the ghosts are getting bolder. There's one point where Shadia, who's playing Ruby, has a bit of a breakdown where she's like, I don't want to be black anymore. She has to go to a school where there's nothing but white kids. She's like, I don't want to be black anymore. I want to look like these people. And so the ghost creates a white girl to kind of tell her, like, you know, you could be perfect if you were different, which subsequently causes her to paint herself in like paint, like white paint all over her body. And then she goes out to meet the rest of the kids or the cheerleaders with this white paint all over her, as if this was okay. And as she's doing it, she snaps out of it. And she's like, "What the hell am I doing?" Like it's, and so like the spirit is causing them to do things either that are like deep down, like inside them that they want to do or thought about doing, or is causing them to kind of go about any of the racist things that we've seen, where is it colorism, or it's, you know, the anti-racism things where they like with it, they hate each other, you know, like you're a house nigga type stuff, like all this type of stuff where they end up hurting themselves. Come to find out, there was another family that moved into this neighborhood that was having the same thing, and what the spirit did was it caused the wife there to go crazy and kill her family before she was eventually admitted to an insane asylum. All of this is terrible. But essentially that's his motive. He does things or shows them hyper racial things to get them to snap and then hurt themselves or hurt other people, right? And so that's like, okay, so that's one part. The second part is the people that are getting them these houses, these black people, these houses, they're doing it so that the white people will get upset, sell their houses at a loss, the bank can come in and buy it, and then resell it to black people at a high rate. So not only are they screwing black people, they're making a profit because they're flipping these houses for mad cheap. So there's a like for instance, there's a police officer that comes and helps the family deal with like a racial situation. You think, oh, a cool white guy. No, he's actually doing it because he's protecting his investment because he's in league with the bank, and he wants this white this black family to stay amidst all the chaos so that white people get fed up and just move out because they want their town to stay white. And then that way they can take over the houses and whatnot. So all that's happening within the first however many episodes, right? And I'm like, man, I really hope they have a point. I really hope that they're moving in a way that eventually gets us to like the us, or gets us to get out, or gets us to whatever, right? The fifth episode, I nearly broke. Actually, no, skip that. The third episode, I nearly stopped. The third episode has Shadia in school, and she's getting ready to she raises her hand to answer a question, and the teacher's like, okay, you can a answer the question. She answers it correctly, and all the students start beating their chests like gorillas and making monkey sounds and all this other stuff. And the camera just stays on her face, which felt like, I think it was on for like, it could have been no more than 5 minutes, but it felt like an eternity because we're just watching her experience this. As she slowly starts crying, the teacher is like, hey, you guys stop. The sound gets drowned out, so all you can hear, because remember, this is a spirit that's also like blustering all the racist stuff that happens. You hear nothing but these sounds as she's like looking around the classroom, like, I need help. And nothing. Like, there's no like sense of reprieve or like safety, or like there's no point in this scene other than to make us feel uncomfortable. And you know, she gets to the principal office, and that's where she meets the white ghost who tells her basically, you could be better if you weren't black, and gets into her head. So that almost did it. But the fifth episode, and I know this is kind of like having a child and putting like a button in front of them and being like, don't press the really big button. So I know like you kind of want to go see it after I explain. I promise you, you don't. You don't need to press the button. Stay away. Episode five shows us what happens to Lucky and her son, because mind you, her son's not in the show after the first episode, and this is why. Flashback to what happened. She's on the porch, or she comes out. There's a white woman talking or asking about her, and she's like, "Hey, are you lost?" Lucky comes out and says, "Are you lost?" She's like, "No, I'm not lost. I just saw your nice house and wanted to say hello." Their dog runs out, Lucky's dog runs out and greets the woman. And she's like, oh, you have a nice dog or whatever. And she starts singing this song. It's a racist song. And like Lucky picks up on it and she's like, oh, you know what? Maybe you should leave. My husband will be back soon. The woman's like, oh, your husband, you mean the one that went left with your two daughters like an hour ago? She's like, yeah, we saw them. And so when she says that, her son starts crying, Lucky's son. And she's like, oh, you have a son. You have a child. What's his name? Can I have him? And I'm like, can you have him?
What?
Warning. Let me just preface this with a warning, because I don't want to like just say what I'm about to say without warning anyone. What happens next is violent. What happens next is very cruel. I'm gonna say what happened because again, I don't want you to watch it. But trigger warnings. We're gonna be talking about rape. So I'm just putting that out there before I go on. All right. So these guys come up and they break into her house. She tries to hide her son in a closet, and the guys find her, and you know, proceed to do whatever. And while that's happening, the woman is looking for her son. The woman finds her son and puts him in a pillowcase and ties it up. And then it says like, you know, cat in a bag, which I've heard that term before. But usually it's for torture for cats, like if you want them to, whatever. She put the kid in the bag, and they start throwing it back and forth as Lucky is being assaulted by multiple men, going back and forth, until finally the woman grabs it and like is swinging around, knocking things over, and then she just drops the kid, and there's like blood on the bag, and so they kind of just show Lucky lying on the ground with like her clothes ripped up. The guys walk out and walk like nothing happened. Then they fast forward to the funeral. The son has died. Lucky is, you know, is a mess. Her husband is a mess because he's like, I should have been there. It's just horrible, horrible. And all the time I'm like, what was the point of this? What is the point? Because when we look at, when we talk about like other media of this type, right? Good media, Whether it be us, heck, even Roots, there are things that they do to kind of prove a point. There's things that they show in terms of character development. There's things that they do so that the violence or the bad things isn't is not the exclamation point. It's there to show you what happened, but it's not the only thing. What happens is as time goes on, all you get is violence. Like racism, like how they're being treated, how they're being talked to, how they're being, and it doesn't let up. Like at one point, Lucky is put into a mental hospital. You find out that the woman there takes in black women. She's a white woman. The head doctor there takes in black women and does what's the thing they do with a kind of a lobotomy. She purposefully, when women come in, she riles them up. When their family comes to see them, she tells them that they don't want you there, that the woman doesn't want to see you, or that you're a bad influence. And then she tells the wife the opposite, like they don't want to see you. They think you're dangerous. The wife obviously gets upset and is like, I need to see my husband. She's like, you know what? We need to do a procedure. And so she lobotomizes every black woman that comes there. So meanwhile, the spirit is still moving around through the house. It's teaching her youngest daughter racist songs to sing out loud. It's bringing up visions of her son. It's doing the whole blackface Sambo thing with the husband, causing him to lose his mind. It's tormenting the daughter to the point where it tricks them too. Like the daughter thinking that she's fighting off the spirit, but in reality she's just cutting herself. Like it's just a lot of bad stuff, right? So we get closer to the end. And I'm like, they gotta pull this around. There's gotta be some type of like point to this.
Tie this in.
Because so far it's just trauma. It's just trauma for the sake of trauma. And I say that also because there are other stories that happen, like with other characters. They try to humanize different people. I don't know why. Where, because there's a difference between humanizing Magneto, like he's gone through something, and humanizing a racist person. One of the women on the street there who was like leading the charge to get this black family kicked out, went to her father, who apparently is rich, and was like, hey, can you give us money, a loan, so we can move out of this house to another house because we don't want to live around the black family? And he's like, sure. What you find out, though, is that the reason why she left and never came back to her rich father is because he abuses her. And he's like, you know what? You'll stay the night and we'll take a good bath. And you're like, wait, we'll take a bath? And then they allude to her going up to her room. You see him like going back and forth in the bathroom to like running water and like taking his clothes off. And then she just flees. She runs from the house. And I'm like, what is the point of this? Like, is she gonna come around and just be a good, like is she's not gonna be racist anymore? Like, am I supposed to feel sorry? Because all the things that she did, it doesn't justify her actions to the black family. Like all the, I guess, torment in her life does not make it okay for the thing that she's been doing, to the point of asking someone to kill the family. Like literally, like I can't take it anymore. The Lucky like strikes her one day, like hits her in the face because she called her a nigger, and she literally goes to the milkman is like, you were in the military, you know how to get rid of a family. So but yet I'm supposed to feel sorry. So like all of these things are happening, these little bits of story that don't that they don't really go anywhere. We're still focused on this family and how they're being tormented. We get towards the end. The family finally fights back. Lucky is like the main person who fights back because she gets over her trauma. Not get over, but she deals with her trauma with her son. She is able to coax her husband down from killing anyone. She's able to talk her daughter out of cutting her face. She gets everybody back on the same track and she confronts the spirit. And she finds out that the spirit kind of wants her to join him, like in misery. She re rejects him and the spirit bursts into flames because of the deal that he signed. And all this is happening while police are waiting outside their house. There's like a ring of fire around their house, not letting anybody get in. And white people are just screaming at them because they saw her husband come out and beat the crap out of a guy with his gun. The reason why he did that was because they came inside, they kicked down their door, came inside, and beat him up, cut off one of his fingers, and was getting ready to hang him because they thought he absconded one of the women, there, like in the neighborhood, one of the white women.
Mm-hmm.
And so his daughter kills one of them. He gets free and he goes to kill them, like out and about with everyone. And his daughter kind of like stops him and
Right.
brings him back in the house. So all this is happening while, them dealing with the spirits, all this is happening outside. They get outside at the end to face, I don't know, a bunch of cops and their angry neighbors with the fire all around them still
Right.
bloodied from their ordeal, and the show ends. And I lose my freaking mind.
So it just ends like that.
It ends with them out on their front porch. They still have the mammy dolls and all the racist stuff all around them. There's a ring of fire around their house. The police have their guns drawn on them, and it ends.
Okay.
It ends. And it's 10 episodes of the most horrific stuff I have seen. Mind you, I am a horror fan. I like monsters. I like that sort of thing. I like Us. I like Get Out. Heck, I like His House on Netflix. I thought that was an amazing movie about basically a black horror film that deals with a lot of things, racism and whatnot, like this show does.
Yeah.
The thing is, they had tact, there was nuance, and there was a point. There wasn't really a point in this show other than to be mean and seemingly hateful. And I know that's ironic because it deals with hate, but it was seemingly just to be hateful, to see how much can we do or how much pain can we show these characters get through and still survive. And you know
Yeah.
what? That's not a victory in the way that it sounds.
Yeah.
This idea that we suffered and we're able to be stronger about it. This idea that black women are can take more pain than other people, that stuff kills us. Like this
Does.
notion of us being super strong humans kills us. I'm
Yeah.
not going to go into why, but just understand that that kills us. This is a negative
Mm-hmm.
thing. What you are doing or what you've done is taken traumas, elevated them to crazy heights, and used that as entertainment. Mind you, I never said anything about this show was scary. This is supposed to be horror, and maybe horror in the vein of like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know. There's horror that's not supposed to be scary, I guess. 'Cause like Get Out isn't very scary, but it's still, in horror. But like there's
Yeah.
nothing scary at all. There's a lot of tense moments because you're like, they can't go this far, that they're not gonna do what I think they're gonna do. But there's nothing about this that I'm trying
So
to
this is
think.
just violence and gore. It doesn't follow in a real horror because it's not like this is like build up suspense and then something really scary happens. It's just violence and gore.
It's very much like how when Hostel first came out, people thought it was like torture porn. Like it was just a bunch of people getting hurt for whatever reason. But even that had a there was some merit in that in terms of pushing an artistic envelope. There was some merit to that in terms of ultimately how things end or how things move about. There were some things there, and I'm not going to get into that because I want to stick with them, but there was some merit there that I don't really find any merit in them outside of it being stylistic. I don't find good acting. I don't find any merit in like who is this for? It's not for black people. It's not. We know that racism is bad. We deal with it. Especially nowadays with the fact that all of our deaths are basically advertised or shown on social media over and over and over and over and over. It's definitely not for us, and it's not going to make any white person understand racism. It's not going to make any white person kind of come around who doesn't want to come around because it's so high, or like the level is so heightened that it's unrealistic. The fact that the spirit is kind of manifest itself into a form of racism and then breeds off of black families, it's absurd. And so they're not going to learn anything. If anything, it's going to be like, this was really, I can see a white person be like, yo, that was effed up. That's it. Like, that's as far as they can go. Like, yo, that was really. And all the black people I've spoken to, and I get it, I'm not the, I don't speak for all black people. But not one person was like, this was a dope anthology series, or this was a dope. Like, they had a solid point with this, or did you see this particular scene? Everyone that I've spoken to has been appalled. that they don't understand why this was greenlit. I mean, we understand why, but why black people would sign their name to it. Even with the commentary from the creators, I still don't get their point in making it as brutal as possible to watch. It hurt. I don't wish that on anyone. Yeah. I don't understand. And that was supposed to lead to a bigger topic, but we don't even need to go there. But the idea was that, like, this weird thing with like making our trauma entertainment. This weird fetish, you know, that people have for seeing black people go through the most vile shit. I don't understand. With no type of point in sight. Like, I kid you not.
You are not the only one. I mean, I've looked at the reviews on Google, like just the Google reviews of the show. And even though there are a bunch of people who are like, "Oh my God, this is amazing," but there the peop everyone who has said it's bad, like every one star person, has said the exact same thing that you said. Like, first of all, they wish they never watched it. They said it was hurtful. They are shocked to know that a black man wrote it because they're like, if you were a racist white person and you watched this, you probably would have enjoyed it. Like, enjoyed, just been like, oh, this is good stuff. Like, this is just, that's ridiculous. And people who also said that it made no sense, they're just like, it's pointless. Like, literally, multiple people, multiple reviews are just like, there was really no point to this entire thing. They're like, this one person said episode 9 could have been, just didn't even need to happen. Episode 9 should never have existed. Somebody said this whole the whole storyline with Betty or whatever shouldn't, like, Betty's role was totally irrelevant.
It was. That was the
And
random white woman who,
I'm like,
yeah, that was the random white woman who, you know, had to go to her father and you know, all that stuff happened. It was like a whole aside for nothing. Like it, I t like it's, and I'm trying not to ramble. I had so many thoughts coming into this and so many things I wanted to say, but
I think
it's
it just
difficult.
traumatized you. It traumatized
Yeah.
you a lot. It's that's obvious.
It's difficult to
That is,
articulate.
I definitely can tell because, like, this is remember last year when we were talking about Black AF and you're like, yeah, nah, fam, nah, I'm not really. But you're
Right.
like, you know, I don't like this, and then you're like, this is why. And but this is like, you're like, no, people run the other way. Amazon pulled this show, like, you know.
Yeah, and similar to what you know Rami was saying a few episodes ago, I you know it's not something where I think it needs to be censored and taken down. However, I do feel like censoring in the sense that I don't recommend watching it. It's harmful. It is harmful to black people, especially now with COVID and people being stuck in their house. You need I like, and I was joking, but I tweeted like I need to go watch something that's a little bit more wholesome. I'll go watch like Friday the 13th or something. You know what I'm saying? Like I picked something, and I did that purposefully. I picked something that was, you know, it's not wholesome at all, but I picked it because of how bad I felt after watching the show.
I get it.
There is no like aha moment.
Nothing worse. Like, watching Hellraiser is not worse than this. Like,
It's
watching,
not.
watching Silence of the Lambs is not worse, is what you're saying.
It's not. It is not. I've seen some movies, and granted, there are some movies that I would definitely not recommend, just period. But this is specific to black people. Like specific to black people because of the pain that we're just sitting through our own pain in a heightened state for hours. What is the freaking point?
An whole episode.
It speaks nothing to us. It
And
speaks nothing to us.
are they hour episodes?
They're 45 minutes, I believe. So 10 episodes, 45 minutes, and yeah, it's packed full of bad things. I mean, they talked about, you know, soldiers being experimented on and how it's just bad. It's just all around bad.
So this this person on Google, this person's name is just Tina's Tales. They wrote a list of why, because they gave it 5 stars again. First of all, I don't trust anything on any review site, but I just always find it funny for people who give stuff 5 stars and people who give stuff 1 stars. You have to throw those out because I'm more likely to believe people who don't give full stars or zeros, you know, the least amount of stars, because they put a little bit more thought into it sometimes or whatever, or they have emotions that they haven't been able to articulate, so that's why it got 4 stars, or emotions they haven't been able to articulate, and that's why it got 2 stars and not one. I just want to list out some of the stuff that this person listed as to why they thought it was good. And this is literally what this person said. They're like, here's a list of things you need to understand before understanding them season one. I don't even like the fact that I'm hearing season one because apparently there's supposed to be a follow-up at this point, and that scares me. So, anyway, the list is 18 things long. One was the moving crisis for blacks in Compton in the 1950s. Two, Western Christianity and its origins and the Protestant Reformation. Three, the word to the Pledge of Allegiance, United States of America. Is there a Pledge of Allegiance somewhere else anyway? Is it called that? Who
Yeah.
knows? Is it called that though? Whatever. Four, the history of blackface. Who started it? Why in hell? Five, colorism.
Wait,
Six.
wait, wait. Stop. Stop.
Seriously.
The history of blackface.
It
This is
says
why you gave it 5 stars.
person literally said that this is part of their list of things that people have to understand when watching this, and it said the history of
Oh,
blackface.
I see. I see. They you have to be knowledgeable.
They have a list of 18 things of what people need to be knowledgeable before they watch or while they watch this or understand it, whatever. So anyway, yeah, history of blackface, who started it, why, and how. Five, colorism. Six, black contributions stolen by white supremacy. I think they spell it. Anyway, seven, segregation in the American education system. Eight, Jim Crow era. Nine, history of, quote, the black buck. 10, black women and childbirth. 11, history of feminism. 12, bus boycott. 13, the demasculation of the black male. 14, wrongful accusations of black men and boys for kidnapping and murder of white women by white men. 15, the passive racism. 16, police corruption. 17, I'm sure there's something I'm missing. 18, history of black veterans. And then they wrote, "Woo, I'm tired. My mind is blown by this show. They deserve an award for this." Now, like you said, awards, acting, cinematography, or whatnot, you know, like, I think the clear things, as I saw that in the previews. In the previews, I was like, wow, this is shot really well. The colors, the vibrancy of the colors, and all that stuff is symbolism. And I get that. And kind of like what you were saying, and even if we take this person's list into consideration, there seem to be concepts that probably made sense on paper. And I don't know what happened, obviously, in the translation from screen to, I mean,
See,
from paper to play.
this is what pisses me off, right? And you know, I understand all those things. I'm sick of people saying just because someone had some type of concept or they pointed at something that was meaningful, you know, way down, you know, on the horizon, there was something meaningful there, that all of a sudden we're supposed to be okay with whatever the hell they feed us. That makes no sense to me.
None.
That makes no sense. So you mean to tell me that if I understand racism, that I should be okay with watching hours of us being beaten, tortured, you humiliated, spoken down to, spit upon. Like, I'm supposed to be okay with that because I understand the history. That makes no sense. Again, who is this for? It's not for me. I already understand these things. And the idea that, hey, racism is bad, that should be just known at this point. Like, the people who deny being racist but are still racist know that it's bad. That's why they deny it. That's not, that doesn't say anything. It's I don't like anything that pretends to be intelligent. Like whether we're talking about this, we're talking about, you know, Kanye. I know, I for my all my Kanye fans, I'm sorry, but like Jesus
Trash.
walks, like when he did Jesus Walks, had nothing to do with Jesus. Saying that he's good says nothing. Stop it.
Nothing.
You're not saying anything. These basic ass concepts aren't new.
No.
You didn't do anything intelligent with them. You just took them and made them violent.
Right.
Racism is already violent. Stop with this. Oh, you don't know the history. You don't know our history. Are you saying white people don't know?
White
They're the ones doing it. And this won't help them change. It is so unfathomable, like unbelievable, that it's not going to change anything. It's not like The Watchmen, where they showed... you know, the bombing of one of our towns, this, you know what I'm saying, years ago. Like, that was something that where was is even though there's like superheroes and all these other things, that was reality in that moment. So like, oh, someone being like, oh, what, you know what, I didn't know that was a thing, let me go look this up. In them, because of the way it's presented, none of it is worth looking up, or not worth looking up, but none of it would drive someone to look up because it is so out there.
Yeah.
Who is going to, seriously, you think of blackface, do you first think about a vengeful spirit who's killing black people because some demon told him to years ago?
Right.
Are you questioning Christianity? Listen to this for a second. Are you questioning Christianity on the basis of a demon telling someone to do something horrible to black people?
Right.
Think about that for a second. If you don't believe in God and you think this was a good depiction of what happens when people are obsessed with religion, do you think it would be smart to use a demon, something that's pulled from their religion, to convey that message? You sound foolish.
Sound dumb. You're 100%.
All of this is very, very silly. Like, what are we talking about?
Yep. I'm with you on that. It doesn't make sense. That's all I'm like, the thing that makes me the maddest out of everything you said, because again, people, I have not watched this and I'm not going to now. But the thing that made me so mad was the fact that this racist spirit existed, because that to me makes everything so unbelievable. It just makes everything, it makes me feel like I felt in certain other movies where they tried to always, you know how there was always like a white savior in a movie where white people were being racist? There's always some white person who's like, oh, you know, I'm going to help you guys fix all this or whatever. And the movie ends up being like about that white person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah. And you're like, okay, you know, I'm not saying that it in itself is not a historical thing, something that has happened. What I'm saying is like, they will then turn around and blame all the racism on one person, like one white person. Like, this person is bad and everybody else is trying to help. And it's like, no. There was a shit ton of people who were racist and contributing to the racist system. Okay. It wasn't just this one person that you want to put all the blame on now. And so in this situation, it's kind of irritating to hear that there's some sort of spirit running around making people feel things and do things and da da da, because it's like, okay. Are you trying to use this as some sort of historical depiction? Like, this isn't just like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to have a historical depiction of what happened? Or are you making something up in an alternate timeline? Because I don't see how using a spirit, which is easily debunkable, maybe, it is what's causing racism. You know, like,
I mean, because that's what's weird. It's like, it's not even. Because then I would be upset about that. If they were like, these white people are only racist because of this racist spirit. It's like those white people are racist on top of the spirit doing extra stuff. And so I'm really confused, because you'd even have an ass backwards theme like that. You went even further. You separated the two. These racist people are mad racist regardless of spirit. They don't even know there's a spirit being is involved. But the spirit itself is using racism or racist tropes to haunt this family. What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
Even that, just that plainly. Why the racist evil spirit haunting a family on top of all the racist stuff that you have? Because the family that attacked Lucky early on had nothing to do with the spirit. They weren't even in Compton. You just have trauma for the sake of trauma.
Yeah,
we have period pieces already. We have, you know, 12 Years of a Slave. We have all these other things already. You thought you were doing something new. You thought you were doing something interesting. And listen, I'm not even skipping over the fact that you called it them, or that you liken certain things to what Jordan Peele has done. You do not hold a candle to the things that he's done. Even if we find fault in his films or his depictions of racism, it is not the same here. I would be very disappointed if he had anything to do with this mess.
I was literally wondering if he had, because when I saw the title, when I saw that this thing was coming out called Them, I was like, oh, okay, this must be, in Jordan Peele's wheelhouse of one-worded movies, or what, you know what I mean? Like one-worded things that he is, or little short, anyway, you get what I'm trying to say. But
It's thankfully it's
no.
not. It's not. It has nothing to do with him. Because this is it's trash. I'm sorry. There's no, you can't convince me otherwise that it's not trash and should not be watched.
This person wrote, this show was terrible, just a bunch of black trauma porn, if you ask me. A racist watching this show would definitely get off from it. The black family took nothing but L's from the first episode to the last. The black creator should be ashamed, because this was definitely not for the culture. We were more than the trauma we went through and continue to go through. It's okay to make content where black people are free and happy. It seems like the only movies slash shows we get are always so triggering.
Right. It was like, and you know what? We spoke about, and I'll end it with this. We spoke about I May Destroy You, the HBO show. And it has a lot of these, it has, ideas of colorism, it has rape, it has a lot of there's trauma here. However, how it's written, how it's done. I'm not going to use the word tasteful because that's wrong, but it's done with nuance. The trauma isn't the only thing. The trauma is there because it happened, but it's not there to be heightened. It's not there to be exploitative. They didn't exploit the trauma. This exploits it to get a reaction because there's no horror without the exploitation of us. That's it. Everything else is tame. Like I said, the basic racist stuff that they did, that the white people did, was tame in comparison. Trash. Just complete, complete utter trash.
R dot A dot S dot H.
Yes, I apologize for rambling, but yeah, I felt the way. I really did. I felt all the ways that you can feel with watching this show. And to the point where a friend of mine was like, "So what'd you think of that?" I said, "F this show." That's it. Then we don't need to talk about anything else. We just F this show. our second topic is a little bit better. no, it's a whole lot better. My second topic is the idea of feeling guilty about having a little bit of money. What do I mean by that? Well, I guess a brief like background of me. I've gone through like different states of class, like been like when my dad was in the military, we were not well off, but we didn't want for anything, or at the very least we felt that way. When we moved here and he was kind of looking for jobs, we were kind of like a little bit lower, we were lower than that. There have been times where I wouldn't say I was poor, but I'll say we didn't eat bologna sandwiches because it was a delicacy. Like we ate them because that's all we had. And then, fast forward going to college and having to decide, do I buy my books or do I eat today? And, fast forwarding forward to when my first kid was born and my job was outsourced to someone in India and there was no money coming in for 6 months. That's right after I had a child who had a heart condition. So no insurance. So fast forwarding again, all the way up to now, I have no debt outside of the combined debt with my wife. So like our house. So like I have no credit, like I have no payments. Student loans are paid off, credit card paid off, all that good stuff, right? And we are finally with like recent raises and like me working and things of that nature, we finally got to the point where we make a pretty good, decent amount of money. However, living, we still kind of live in a way that where we're not guaranteed any type of money or guaranteed any type of whatever. Like if something happens, we're like, we need to save money just in case. Like that's where it is.
Totes.
And mind you, we've always been like responsible, you know, put money here, put money there, you know, invest in these things, et cetera. But what I come to find out, you know, even just I want to say this year, looking around the house, and I'm like, why are we still using this broke thing? This thing that doesn't work anymore. You know, we can afford to buy a new one. Like we can literally do that. Like right now, our our microwave is the one I had from college, and it's one of those things where like if you open it up, it turns on. Not if you press a button, if you open it to put food in, it automatically turns on.
Okay, this is
So
a problem.
we have to unplug it to put food in and then plug it back in and then turn it on. Because I'm afraid of like the microwaves or whatever, right?
Oh.
And in my head, and to be fair, we were like, we wanted to redo our kitchen, and so we were going to get new appliances and stuff. But at the crux of it, though, it was like, you know what? You could buy another microwave and it will be okay. But there's this weird feeling. There is two folds. It's one, are we allowed to spend money? Because we just got out of debt. We are, you know, we're good. And I don't know, like something could happen tomorrow. Like I bought a new monitor for my computer and immediately I was like, oh God, what if the car breaks down? To be honest, we have enough money if the car breaks down. But
Yeah.
at the same time, I'm like, why did I just do that? Even though I needed it. And then there's this other thing where I'm like, am I privileged now? Like when I talk about how I have a diet and I have a nutritionist and I was able to buy weights and I was able to do this stuff. Am I bragging? Am I talking as if like we have a lot of money or like I feel weird. And so I did a little survey on Twitter to kind of see if I'm not the only person. And I was like, hey, even though you have money right now, do you still act as if you don't have any money? Do you still feel hesitant to buy anything, even if it's like $5 of something? And everybody said yes. White, black, brown, didn't matter. They said yes. And I'm interested in what the hell that is. Because it's not like we're the opposite, where it's like, you know, we have money now, we paid off all our debt. Woo, we're gonna buy a new car, we're gonna get a new house, we're just throwing money, we're making it rain. We're making it rain. It's not like that. What to be honest, it's more like I needed a new phone. I had my Samsung Galaxy 8, I think. I recently got the S21. And I felt like I was like, oh God, why did I just do that?
I mean, it's a lot of money.
It is, but it's like you had that phone. What was the 8? The 8 came out like 5 or 6 years ago? Like,
Hey, I still have the same phone from 2015.
okay, you're a real one. I couldn't do it. You're a real one. But it's like it's
Galaxy
this weird.
Note 5.
Oh gosh. Well,
There's a Galaxy Note 29.
See, mine was starting to get super slow and it wouldn't charge anymore, so I had to move on. But it's still was still some guilt there. There was still some like, what are you doing with your life? And I'm like, what do you mean? I should be allowed to buy stuff. Like I should be okay as long as my bills are taken care of. We have a decent savings. We're moving money. Like our kids have their own savings that we put for them. Like I should be okay. I should be all right with spending a little bit of money, but I still feel like, oh my God. And mind you, my wife is worse. Like I had like, all right, I'm not gonna, anyways, look, just a lot of times we don't want to spend money. We just feel like we shouldn't. And I want to know what that is. Why is that?
I think it's definitely something that you've lived with for a while, maybe, and so it's become a practice. And because
Yeah.
if you didn't have those feelings that you there's a possibility that you if you didn't teach yourself to like tighten the rope, that you may become frivolous. Because
True.
some people aren't frivolous in nature, but sometimes when you do indulge, and I don't mean indulge like, oh, okay, I bought myself a candy bar today. I mean where it's like you went to the store, you bought yourself a bunch of new clothes, spent $300 on new clothes, and it feels good. It feels good. to go to the mall and spend money. Like, and you know what? It feels even better than like going to the mall and spending money and walking around with bags. Going to a shopping center where you
right.
can get multiple stores and get multiple things and get multiple bags. And just, you know, like there's a shopping center that has a clothing store, you know, like a Ross or a TJ Maxx or a Marshalls or something like that, where you can get stuff on discount. That's cute. And then there's like, oh my God, there's a Best Buy. And then there's a GameStop. I mean, all of those places in one, and there's a nail salon. Come on. So in a way, I'm just saying, I think that teaching yourself how to live meagerly is, it's a mindset, but it's almost like it, since we've been talking about trauma, it's almost a like a trauma that you put on yourself. It's this thing so that you don't do what I do, which is spend money like I have it, and I really don't. And what I can say personally from myself is that, and I'm not even going to be like, oh, I spend money like crazy, because I really don't, because I just don't have it. But there have been times when I did have it, and when I did have money, I definitely spent it. I'm not the type of person who holds on to money. I never really have been that way, because I don't know, when you grow up with nothing, you don't really have anything to hold on to. It's not, it's like, if people are like, oh, I got, oh, I bought this new thing. It's like, oh, that's so cute. How'd you afford that? Did your parents buy that for you? No, I saved up. What money did you, I don't understand. You don't have a job. You're a kid. Oh, my allowance. What? What's the hell? Like, I only had allowance two times in my life. It was a quarter. And I say two times because it happened two times. And I mean, like two separate ages. I mean, like it happened twice. I got a quarter for making my bed. That was my allowance. So I didn't have that, like, you know, those things. I had a friend in high school who bought herself a Honda Civic. I remember I wanted one so bad. And anyway, she was like, oh, yeah, I bought it myself. I said, how? She's like, I saved up for it. How much did this cost? $12,500. And I just didn't even say anything. So I was like, how does a 17-year-old save $12,500? Just how does that happen? Where did you get that? Like, it, you could not, as a teenager, you could not work. There's no job you could do legally as a teenager that you made this much money. I was like, I had a job too when I was 15. I didn't have no damn work permit. I was 15 and I had a job. I made $8 an hour. Okay, that was pretty decent for a 15-year-old back in 1998, was it? Or whatever. But I wasn't making enough money to save up 12. Geez, like, come on. That's not the point.
That's a dream.
But my point is that when I got to a point where I made my own money and I had my own job and I paid for my own transportation and I didn't rely on my parents for anything, and I mean, except, you know, the roof over my head at that one. I shouldn't say parent. My mother. You know, only relying on my mother to keep the roof over my head. I paid into it, okay? Not even talking about my years of child labor in the house. I'm talking about the actual money that I gave towards rent and bills, because I was an adult and had a job. And I also still had no freedom. I wasn't allowed to go out. So, you know, those things. But what I am saying is that when I did have my own job, my own insurances, plural, like health insurance, car insurance, all that kind of stuff, and honestly, completely took care of myself, except lived, you know, down the hall from my mom. I felt like people treated me like I wasn't allowed to have nice things. So this is kind of something that I go through with my family. And I do feel like I get treated like I'm not allowed to have nice things. So if I show up nice, and I don't mean that I'm not buying Gucci. I'm not walking around with name brand stuff. It's just like, I might have something. I like nice things. Okay. I think that I do have decent taste, and I might, you know, wear something nice, and somebody will be like, I like that. And I'll be like, okay, you know, thank you. And they'll be like, where'd you get that? How much did it cost? Okay. I'm telling you, well, why did you don't need that. That is something that I hear from my older sister all the time. You don't need that. You don't need that. I mean, obviously that's code for I want it. Give it to me. I'm older than you. But I have my own kind of like trauma, and like sometimes I feel like I have to hide things. I shouldn't have to hide things. I'm a freaking adult. But I feel like it's happened since I was in my 20s, where it's like if I had something new or just something that was nice, people made me feel like I shouldn't have something nice. Like I don't deserve that. I don't work hard enough for something nice. And again, let me stress, it's not Gucci. It's not Hermes. It's not. I don't even know that many name
It's
brands.
not Fendi. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's none of
Okay.
that.
It's none of that. I'm like, so what? I'm not allowed to buy a coat from Ann Taylor? Seriously, it's Ann Taylor. Like, that's basic.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I have a lot of that. I've gone through a lot of that where it's not just, you know, the personal thing where it's like, oh, you know, we've been meager for so long, or we always keep a tight budget. I feel guilty for buying this. It's more like people make me feel guilty for having something nice because of their own idea of what I should have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I've definitely had that issue. I've definitely struggled with that for a long period of time, and it ends up making me feel bad about myself, like I guess I don't deserve that. But then I have to remind myself that's effing nonsense. You deserve what you can afford as long as you're not putting yourself out.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
it.
That's essentially it, 'cause it's outside of, there's things that we move money, in terms of budgeting and, goals that we have. But then, like, I remember talking to, my wife about how, man, I wish we would have been able to put certain money towards these things, in terms of retirement. And she's like, we can't, at that time, she's like, well, we can't do that. We have children, we have this, we have that, and we work with what we have. So don't feel bad that you can't do A, B, and C, because this is what we have. And the opposite is true as well. When we get the money, we're able to do it. It's not breaking the bank. And because of that, I'm allowed to get a new phone. I'm allowed to get a new monitor. Heck, I needed a new monitor. So why not? You're not, and even if something does happen outside of something catastrophic, you have the money. You've worked long enough. What is the problem? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that I'm going to change anytime soon in a sense of like just buying whatever,
Yeah,
but
holler.
it's right. That's never been the case.
You want to be kicked, Paris? You want to show up with a brand new car that you don't need?
shoot. No, not at all.
No.
But yeah, it's like just like at a point, it's like, all right, it seems like it's only okay when it's like a birthday or a Christmas or something, like where people are like, oh, you got that? Okay, cool. But before, at any other time, it's like, oh man, in this economy, you bought that. It's like, oh, I needed it. What you mean? Like,
It's
which,
like not judging me.
right? Like, I don't know. And so it's along those lines of the people who are either like, you don't need that, or the people like, oh, that must be nice, I hate that, or just my own inner self being like, should you be spending money right now? And while I think that should be a conversation you should have, it should not be crippling. It should not
Exactly.
be where you just feel bad that you I don't know, splurge responsibly. Like, it shouldn't be a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's taken care of. So I don't know. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because it was on my mind and I thought it would be interesting. And I'm pretty sure there's other people who experience some of these things, especially if you're black and kind of come from the places that we come from. With that being said, we are happy that you hung. No, hung isn't right. Hung is a jury. You
Hanged it?
hanged it.
I'm gonna go with hanged it.
You
I like
hanged it
that.
with us this whole time. You listened to my rant. If you didn't and you skipped it, that's cool too. I have no problems with that. I know that just hearing about certain things can be kind of, triggering or whatever. So I did want to kind of give people an out. And for those of you who want to see it just because you just have to press the button, that is on you. I've warned you. Do what you do. You might have a better stomach for it than I do. Maybe you can, extrapolate some type of deep meaning that I really don't care to learn. That's on you. Everyone else, yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us. Be sure to, we're gonna take, actually, I'm gonna break the fourth wall a little bit. So I was late getting to this podcast because I misread a text from Tess, and she was saying that I read it as that her internet's gonna be down this week, so we can't record. What it actually said was it would be down next week. What's interesting about that, though, is that next week is actually our anniversary, my wife and I. And so I am actually, I was, you know, we had planned to be off that week. And by off, I mean I'm not doing streaming, I'm not recording anything, I'm not writing anything. I am off because I haven't had a vacation, like a real vacation, in like some time. And so, yeah, starting on the 18th, because that's when our anniversary is, we are not doing anything for an entire week. So, right? So the fact that your internet's going to be down that week is perfect freaking, well, for me, perfect freaking
Yes, I'm so glad that I timed this so correctly. Thanks, budget. Thanks, wallet.
right? But yeah, let us know what you want to for us to talk about. There's a ton of things happening in the gaming sphere. There's a ton of shows that are coming up, whether it's on Netflix, Prime, HBO. I have all of them at the moment. So yeah, there's tons of stuff that we could talk about and kind of dive into. And we want to know what you think. For everybody who's listening on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe, hit that notification bell so you can be up on all the new content that we have coming out. For you guys who are on, you know, Spotify, iTunes, or whatever, or if you just kind of randomly overheard your sibling listening to us, feel free to get our RSS feed and plug in because we have a lot to talk about. We're moving, we're doing stuff, and you want to always be that person that was like, I was there at day one, or in this case, you know, episode 50, 51. Like, you want to be that person. So feel free to stick around. We have a lot of cool stuff planned, and yeah, that's it for housekeeping.
The truth of the matter is, I'm just going to end on the note that I still don't know what an RSS feed is. So I really love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to us and dealing with us. We really enjoy you. And even though I don't really know anything, I still love you guys. Remember to wash your hands and your faces and your butts. Remember to wear your masks. It's extremely important. And get your shot if you can. You know, I'm not forcing anybody, but you know, be a good citizen. And really, that's it. So goodbye from me and Kenny and Hermione, my dog, who is now asleep. She's not barking anymore, and that's great because she chose the end of the show to stop barking. Wonderful. You guys have a great night, week, 2 weeks, whatnot. We will see you when we get back with some more info and some more good stuff and juicy talk and whatever. And yeah, I will find out what an RSS feed is by then. I promise you, that is a lie. I will not do it. Thank you. We love you. We will see you again. Bye-bye.